All right, hey everybody, I want to welcome you to this edition of Bible News Radio. I am Stacy Lynn, your sweet and lovable host here. And you know what, today I am going to talk to you about something that I've been following for about a week or so, a little bit longer than that, concerning one of the Republican representatives here in America. And it's a Republican by the name of Congresswoman Nancy Mace. That's M as in mom, A-C-E. So Nancy Mace is her name. And I actually came across this woman because of some of the research on the internet that I happened to see. And I was actually very sad when I saw this because I thought, well, you know, there you go. So there's an article over on evangelicaldarkweb.org and it's titled GOP Congresswoman Nancy Mace brags about fornicating at prayer breakfast. So the 13th annual South Carolina prayer breakfast occurred on Wednesday. And this was written July 27th. So this was a couple of weeks ago. So this occurred on Wednesday, in which the South Carolina congressional delegation appeared. Nancy Mace, Tim Scott, and Lindsey Graham were all present. Representative Nancy Mace spoke at the breakfast and regaled the crowd with her lack of sexual escapades that morning. And in the story, she details being shacked up with her fiance. Now this got me. I was really surprised by this, actually. And then again, I can say that I'm not completely surprised given the state of America and our government and all of that. But the reason I want to talk about this is because I'm pretty sure you didn't hear about it. And if you did hear about it, you probably didn't hear the actual speech, and you probably didn't see the fallout that happened on Twitter, aka X. And so what I want to do in this episode is I want to share with you her actual speech, which is about 7 minutes long, so you can hear it in context. And then I want to read you some responses from Twitter, which really blew my mind. Right? But before I do that, I want to tell you that if you have not yet downloaded my HeartTug International mobile app, you can do that. Just go to Google Play, go to your iStore, and look up HeartTug International. You can download our app there, and then you can stay in touch with us through that. We have everything in that app. You can sign up for our email. You can receive text messages from us through that app. You can donate through the app and all that. And I really hope that you do. All right? So without further ado, I, though, am going to play you now the whole prayer speech. This is a speech that this representative in South Carolina gave at a prayer breakfast. Listen to this.
I can't think over here to most of you sitting down, you're right. Chuck Garriott, wave at everybody, Chuck. Chuck has been a sponsor of this breakfast for all 13 years and is constantly available to assist along the way and never ever asks for anything in return, to include what I just did, and he hated it when I did it, which made him raise his hand. But it's a fact of the matter is that when you spend time with people, you get to know their heart a little bit better. And I will say that as I introduce Congresswoman Nancy Mace, the one thing I can say about Nancy is that over time, we've been able to get to know each other a little better, and certainly am thankful for her service to our country through the 1st Congressional District of South Carolina. I would say this about Nancy as she comes forward. She spends time with the people that she loves. She is fierce, she is clear, and she is right a lot of the time. And well, that's why I said a lot of the time. So let's hear from Nancy Mace. Nancy Mace.
Thank, Thank you, Tim. And, you know, I do go to Tim a lot for advice. Tim gives great advice. I would say, and I even argue sometimes, Tim gives the best advice. But as those of you who know me know that I don't always take the advice. And then I end up paying for it when I don't take the advice. But want to thank you for pulling this together. Another year, another standing room only event. And when I woke up this morning at 7, I was getting picked up at 7:45. Patrick, my fiance, tried to pull me by my waist over this morning in bed. And I was like, no, baby, we don't got time for that this morning. I got to get to the prayer breakfast. And I got to be on time. And a little TMI. But he can wait. I'll see him later tonight. But I was here early today for you, Tim. And I think everybody was here early for you today. And I think that's a true testament to your leadership, to your faith, and your ability to bring people together and unify our country, because our country is so divided right now. One of my kids, my oldest, just had his car broken into last week. A couple weeks ago, our car was keyed. We had our house vandalized again for the third time in 3 years, like 2 months ago. And I have never seen anything like it. It's never happened to me before. But in this political age where, as William said earlier, technology is connecting us, people can do all these things behind a keyboard and not realize some of the real world consequences that then therefore happen. But we don't get through those things, through those challenges, without having a strong faith. And as Tim said in Matthew 14, when Jesus walked on water, he said, this is I, do not be afraid. And we shouldn't be afraid. And if you have full faith in Jesus and everything that he stands for in our lives and for everyone and in eternity, then we can get through all things, all challenges, all adversity, everything. I had a speech to write. My staff wrote a great speech, and I'm sorry, Nick, I'm not going to use it this morning because Greg is here. Pastor Greg is not only Tim's pastor, he's now my pastor, he's our pastor. And I have to tell this story, and I'm going to try to tell it without crying. As I said, Tim has given me a lot of advice over the years. And early on, I didn't take it. But one of the first pieces of advice when I met Tim when he was running for Congress for this seat in 2010, he's like, you've got to go to Seacoast. You have got to go there. You've got to go to church. And I was not a church-going woman at the time, and I'd lost a lot of faith in church and what I thought it stood for and how I saw it. And I would often get asked about, hey, where are you on your walk? All the time. And I think that's because I wasn't on a walk. I was like, I'm standing upright. My gait looks good, I think. I'm, you know, fairly healthy. I'm walking. But that's not what they were asking about. They were asking, where are you and your faith? And I didn't have it at the time. And it wasn't until I was going through not my first, but my second divorce. And I finally took Tim's advice. And I got my butt into church, into Seacoast on a Saturday night. I put Ellie, my daughter, into Kids Coast for the kids version that night. And I took my son into the main chamber, and we sat in the back. We sat in the nosebleed section, Greg, because I didn't want to be seen in church. Quite frankly, I was horrified that I was there. I was shocked I didn't spontaneously combust. And we sat there, and it was Josh, your son, was pastoring, and it was Jeremiah 6:16. And that verse is about standing at a crossroads in life. How many of you have stood at a crossroads in life? How many of you stood at that crossroads more than once? If you've been at Waffle House after midnight, I know you've been there, and you didn't raise your hand, and that is a problem. But Jeremiah 6:16 said you're standing at a crossroads, and you're looking both ways, and it's which direction do you go in? And you can make it if you make the right decision at the right time with the right people. You'll get through it, and you'll make that. And he was pastoring. He was doing that. It was just beautiful, most beautiful sermon I think I've ever been in. And I just started crying. I mean, I was bawling my eyes out. And Miles, he put his little arm around me, and he's like, Mommy, it's going to be okay. And I love you, and it's going to be okay. I don't think I've missed a service since, either online or in person, except for when we've had COVID, which we just got through our third round of COVID. But Seacoast changed my life. And Seacoast changed the life of my family. And that's because of you, Tim, 100% because of you. I would not be where I am today, having the purpose that I have in life, had I not had that moment for me. And it's changed my family, and we love you, Greg, and I love you, Tim, for that. I'm sorry. So when we had COVID last weekend, We couldn't go in person, but Patrick and I pulled up the online version. If you can't go to Seacoast because you're not in Charleston or at one of their other locations, you gotta go online. And they have this great podcast series. And last weekend they were talking about Sing 2, the movie, the animated movie, and two grown men talking about this animated movie. And what it meant, resiliency. Resiliency during all these challenges, resiliency when you're facing adversity, when you're facing obstacles that you've never faced before, and getting through it. They were quoting Mike Tyson, too, which was awesome, of course. I love that. And Mike Tyson once said that everybody has a plan until you're punched in the mouth. And we really do. And I don't get asked about my walk anymore, because I think that when you have a faith in God, when you believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, people see that. You exude that spirit. You exude those beliefs. And I no longer get asked, because when you do that, every decision you make, the way that you treat and those people that you interact with, the way that you communicate, the way that you interact with your community, people see that. I think it's what people see in you, Tim. They see your faith, and they see how you exude that every single day and everything that you do. And we appreciate you for that. The last thing I wanted to say, as we bow our heads this morning, I've been thinking a lot about the divisiveness of our country and the unity that our nation is going to need, whether that is now or immediately after the 2024 process, but bringing people together. Every time I go to church, I go to the early service, but occasionally I go to the late service when Tim sleeps in, he goes to the later one. But you're there with your mom. You're there with your mom. And my mom, too, has had a big influence in my life. And everything that I do, I run it by mom. And so this morning, I want to pray on Isaiah 66:13, which says, as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. And that with our nation so divided today, that we can attest to a mother's love, a mother's comfort, it is a special thing. That our nation could use the godly touch and comfort of a mother right now. And I would encourage each of you today, regardless whether you're Republican or Democrat, whether you support anybody in the room today or not, that we treat each other with love, that we bring each other together with respect and dignity, and that we're going to get through this one way or another. But take your faith and take it with you and exude it every single day. Thank you, and God bless. Sorry for crying.
Okay, so there you go. That was the full speech, and then this Tim Scott guy got up afterwards, and he said, "And she did not cuss," and that was a blessing from God, and people laughed and clapped even a little bit more. So, there's a part of me that's humored by this, because it's so sad, right? But then there's another part of me that has some compassion on this woman, because she is clearly somebody who has had some problems in her life. I mean, she has been married twice. She has been divorced twice. She's currently shacking up with her guy, who I don't know if she's going to get married to him or not. I guess so. At some point, which would mean that it's her third marriage. Just having been raised with a mother who was married three times, I can tell you that people don't just get married and divorced if they're emotionally healthy individuals. That just doesn't happen. So my heart goes out to her, because clearly she's had some problems. But she's also clearly a charismatic individual. She's mostly supportive of the GOP platform, although she has voted in favor of homosexual marriage and other things that don't line up with scripture. She identifies as a Christian. She calls Jesus her Savior. She didn't call him her Lord. And she has zero shame whatsoever about talking about how she is living with a guy that she's not married with as a Christian. And I find this interesting. I find this a really good example of carnal, modern-day American Christianity. She isn't the only one that's doing this in America, by the way. She's not the only person shacking up, calling herself a Christian, making fun of it, using the name of Jesus and getting votes from people who agree with her. I mean, that's she's not the only person doing it. And so as a result of this, there were a ton of comments that came in on Twitter, also known now as X, because people were outraged by it. And there was this really sad debate happening over there on Twitter about this. And as I read through the comments, I have to tell you that I was sad. Again, I was sad because this is the state of American evangelical Christianity. And these are the people who are representing the supposed party of the people, the Republican Party, in America, which is supposed to be the people, you know, the conservative arm of our politics, right? So I need to read you some of the comments that came through, because I think you'll be amazed by some of this. So I'm going to do that now. Okay, so the commentary that I want to read you is from the Twitter account of Joel Berry, B-E-R-R-Y. Joel is the internet disinformation expert and the managing editor of the Babylon Bee, and the best-selling author of Postmodern Pilgrim Progress. He's a United States Marine Corps vet, and he's a grumpy dad. And this is what he said on July 28th. He wrote, "So basically this woman is a baby Christian who just started attending a fluffy non-dom church in D.C. and who doesn't have all the answers yet, and all the Christians on this platform seem intent on chasing her back out. Good job, everyone." And then, of course, there were a million comments about this. Not quite a million, but there was quite a few. There was almost a half a million people that saw that tweet. And he also said, Joel Berry also said, if she's been attending Seacoast Church for a couple of years and still doesn't know what God's word says about sexuality, shame on her pastor. And, you know, it's interesting to me because I don't really, you know, I'm not in the church bashing business. Seacoast Church is being described as a liberal church. It kind of sounds like it just based on what the few things Nancy Mace said. But what was really even more interesting to me was Joel Berry, again, he's with the Babylon Bee. He wrote on July 28th, he also tweeted, "Or maybe just save our ire altogether, especially when approximately 100% of us have fooled around before marriage and or looked at porn before, unless you're sinless in that case. Judge away, I guess." All right, I'm going to read that one more time because this is coming from the Babylon Bee, a man who writes for the Babylon Bee. He writes, "Or maybe just save our ire altogether, especially when approximately 100% of us have fooled around before marriage and or looked at porn before. Unless you're sinless, in that case, judge away, I guess." You know, it's interesting. I thought, when I read that, I thought, wow, that's really interesting. So Joel Berry is excusing this woman, calling her a baby Christian. Okay, if she became a believer in 2019, give or take, then that would mean she's been a Christian for about 4 years, right? And if she hasn't been taught biblical ethics or morality from the pulpit in the four-year period at the church she attends, I suppose I wouldn't be surprised, because a lot of churches these days don't even read the Bible. But we do know, most people know, common sense tells you that if you're a Christian, you shouldn't be sleeping around, number one. And you certainly should not be living with the person that you're going to marry. And yet, as I said, this is way more popular than you would think. way more popular than you would think, right? And it's sad, right? And you guys all know, I'm not even going to give you a speech about this. We know what the scripture says. It says not. It says let the marriage bed be undefiled, right? Proverbs talks about the man, you know, not hanging out with adulteress, you know, the adulteress, and sleeping around. Fornication is not. It's forbidden, right? You shouldn't be sleeping around. Period. But because the state of the church in America is so weak morally, you have this open representative who's representing the GOP making jokes about this. And you know, it's interesting. It wouldn't be so bad that she's making a joke about this, because it happens all the time, even though, of course, jesting is unbiblical as well. And I know plenty of people that enjoy coarse jesting, and they enjoy bantering on Twitter and other places, and they enjoy listening to podcasts where there's coarse jesting and bashing and stuff. I'm not that person. I am not a coarse jester. But what I will say is that she did this at a prayer breakfast. And that's why I'm bringing it up more than anything, because she did it at a prayer breakfast. A prayer breakfast. And there was laughter amongst the people at this prayer breakfast when she brought this up. So Joel Berry, though, he makes this comment where he says flat out that approximately 100% of us have fooled around before marriage and or looked at porn, unless you're sinless in that case. Judge away, I guess. Well, I guess I can judge away, because I happen to be a person that did not fool around before marriage, and I didn't look at porn before marriage. Just saying. I was sexually abused as a child, and I saw pornography in that context. So I was exposed sexually before marriage, but never had I ever fooled around before marriage outside of that abusive context, which wasn't my fault, by the way. And never did I look at pornography before I was married. And I wasn't the only one. In fact, I want to read you some of the comments here on this Twitter feed, also known as X now. A woman by the name of Kelly Campagna, I don't know how to say her name, but her handle is at WarriorWoman91, and she tweeted on July 29th, "Don't count me in that 100%, bro. Some of us have standards." Then this guy, reality PR guy, he wrote, "Love following you at Joel W. Berry, and you're mostly right about this, but as someone saved himself till marriage, I can say that it is important that we recognize the sex act as sacred and not to be talked about so cheaply, and even repentant sinners get to have a say." So good for that guy. And then this person says, and she's in the woods, her name's Ducky Louise, she says, "Isn't it scriptural that once you have sex, you're already married in the eyes of God, or did I hallucinate that?" You know, that's a good question. It is interesting, and I'm not going to get into the debate about that here, but that was one of the responses. Michael Morris, he wrote, "Go to BYU, that's Brigham Young University, and ask those kids how many of them have lived in sin before marriage," right? And then he gives a chart. And then Charlie Van Patten wrote, "It's one thing that she's participating in it. It's quite another that she's publicly joking about it at a prayer breakfast. The real kicker was, I'll see him tonight." So another person tweeted, "It's later than you think. Imagine being so perverted you can't imagine anyone not being perverted like you. I don't think looked in his proper word tense." And then this person, the last Don, said, "It doesn't surprise me that you defend sin Now I see why your site mocks God's word so often, referring to the Babylon Bee. Looks like it comes from the top. You guys are very comfortable in doing that lately. There's absolutely nothing wrong with calling out Nancy Mace for what she did. Christians are supposed to. And then this man, the last Don, and it's D-O-N, by the way, he quotes 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And he says, see that? The word is supposed to be preached all the time for reproving and rebuking. That's exactly what I've done to Nancy. I told her how it is from God's word. I told her that under no circumstances are you to live with your unmarried partner if you're a Christian. And then Nick Glorios writes, does one have to be sinless before he can judge? Is that what Jesus taught? No. Repent and then judge. You seem pretty judgy of others' reactions to her speech. I take it that you are sinless? Question mark. And then Sarcasm at Hello Fly Navy is the Twitter name. He writes, Joel sounds like the kind of guy who'd hang out with prostitutes and tax collectors. Augustus Hand goes on to say, if someone fooled around before marriage and then became a Christian or realized their mistake and repented, they could justly examine the situation. You're misinterpreting the quote, he who hath no sin throw the first stone. And then Christianity is always good for every something. Twitter name says, he quotes 1 Corinthians 5:12-13, which says, for what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God judges those outside. Purge the evil person from among you. Of course, you guys know the context of this is when there was, I think it was incest was being talked about in that particular thing. This person goes on to say, this is instructions to the church, a group of sinners. Let's follow it. Then Lindsay says, I am not sinless, but I have never watched porn, and I was a virgin on my wedding day at age 33. You say we shouldn't call professing Christians to repentance because it might make them feel bad. Everyone lives in unrepentant sexual sin, and that's just the way life is now. So anyway, all that to say, you kind of get a little bit of an idea, some of the stuff here. And you know, it's interesting to me because even today, I'm recording this August 7th, Nancy Mace, she actually responded to some of these comments on July 30th. She did another video, and this is what she said in her tweet. She said, just got out of church a little bit ago. Been a wild week between UAPs and non-human biologics and PG-rated jokes. Appreciate hearing from many of you and appreciate the support through the good, the bad, and the ugly. Hashtag humbled, hashtag grateful heart, hashtag thank you. And she actually has a whole bunch of things on her Twitter feed. Back in the end of July, she's talking about the UFO issue that was going on, which we didn't cover. As of today, let's see, I'm scrolling back way up here on her Twitter feed. She's been in the news and on Fox and all these other things. Looks like 55 minutes ago, she tweeted, today we honor the brave men and women who have been wounded on the battlefield and those who paid the ultimate sacrifice. Today is Purple Heart Day. That's a wonderful thing. August 6th, which was yesterday, she tweeted with her Mace for Congress logo and a hashtag Sunday scripture. She quoted from Colossians 2:10, which says, in him you are made full, who is the head of all principality and power. And she made no comment on that, just tweeted out the thing. And then, you know, she's done some good things, I think. But ultimately, what's at issue here is that she is representing the Republican Party. She's calling herself a Christian. She believes she's a a Christian, and she is a Christian. She confesses Christ, but she's joking about living in sexual sin at a prayer meeting. And as you can see, there are some people who defended her from the Babylon Bee. And you can see that there's some people who are biblical and who actually care about what God's word says. And they're like going, well, excuse me, but, you know, we have to look at this. And you know what my heart would be in this situation? My heart would be to be able to go to her as a sister, especially as an old one. I'm older than her, first of all. And I don't even know how old she is, but she looks like she's pretty young to me, maybe in her 30s. I don't know. Maybe 40s. I don't know. But I'm older than her. I'm pretty sure of it. But my heart would be to go to her and say, you know, have you ever been discipled? Have you ever been mentored by an older woman? Have you ever read the whole Bible? And I would want to know her church background. I mean, clearly she was in and out of the church before. And I would want to get her spiritual history. I would want to get her understanding of scripture. I would want to find out what her backstory is so that as a disciple maker, we could go and we could go back to square one and figure out what the situation is. And in an ideal world, in an ideal Christian world, not only would I like to do that, but I'd like to mentor her. I'd like to encourage her to get married as soon as possible and or have her fiance move out of the house until they do get married. And that's what Seacoast, in my opinion, should be doing. But I don't see that that's happened anywhere. It's not public anyway, if it has, because they've been called out as being a liberal church. And apparently her pastor apparently was at this prayer breakfast. And so, you know, if this is the type of church leadership you have, that they are not apparently trying to really disciple and mentor somebody in the faith, but rather they're there to entertain, applaud, and hang out with people who have political prestige and some power, then it's no wonder we have weak believers. But here's the thing, and I'm not ready, you know, to throw her out with the bathwater. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to say she isn't a Christian. And the reason, again, why I'm not going to say she isn't a Christian is because she has professed Christ. And what I think a lot of people don't understand, and it's something for me that's been growing over and over in this past year as I've studied the topic of eternal security. The subject of eternal security is extremely important because what that means is that once you're saved, you are always saved. And once you're saved doesn't mean you're not going to sin. Okay? In her case, if she knows the biblical truth and she's choosing not to change her behavior or make a U-turn, then the day that she stands before Christ, before the judgment seat of Christ, she is going to have to give an account to Jesus for everything that she said and did in her body while she was here on earth, just like you and me will. And there are going to be acts. Everything that we have done will be burnt. And the Bible says that whatever's left will be what we will be rewarded for. So she will most likely lose some rewards. And so I have to say that it's heartbreaking to me because that's the upside, right? This is the upside if she's generally a convert. Now, could be she's generally not saved. Let's say she's not saved. She's just actually a church goer. Well, if that's the case, then she isn't even going to make it into heaven. But if we're going to err on the side of belief, right, that she believes who Jesus is, then scripturally speaking, you know, she's just not going to get any rewards when she stands before the Lord and has all of her works judged before him. So, you know, I want to bring this to your attention, not to condemn this woman, because I actually have some compassion for her. But just say, you know what? We have a lot of work to do in the body of Christ. And I think, unfortunately, we have situations today where this is the norm, where people are more concerned with politics over people, and where they're not interested in being discipled. They're not interested in reading the Word of God in its context, understanding it in its historical context, and being able to apply it. I mean, she's quoted Jeremiah, she's quoted other verses, she's taking them completely out of context, and I know without a doubt she has no clue what they mean in context. None whatsoever. And yet this is our YouVersion app of the day. The YouVersion app of the day will give you a verse of the day, and you'll feel good about yourself because you'll look at that verse of the day, because you will have opened your Bible app and you will have read that one verse, and then you will have shared it, and then you're a good Christian, right? No, not necessarily. But that's kind of what Christianity has been boiled down to. And so I just have to say that if you're a praying person, I would encourage you to pray for this person, Nancy Mace. And if you're somebody who is mature in the Lord, one of the things that I would encourage you to do is I would encourage you to find somebody younger than you that you can mentor in the Lord, and older than you that you can learn from in the Lord, and that you would put your focus on God's Word and only His Word, so that you can grow up into salvation. Because I will tell you, the book of 1 Corinthians is a book about saved Christians. And when you read 1 Corinthians, you see a disaster of immorality in the Christian church. Nowhere in that book does it say that any of those believers were not Christians. In fact, it's filled with rebuke to the Christians in that church. But nobody in the Corinthian church wasn't unsaved. They didn't lose their salvation. And so I think that we have a mandate as women of God to mentor the younger women and to teach them, like Titus says. And then as men of God who are older and more mature, you also have that mandate to build disciples, to make disciples, and to walk in a manner that is worthy with His Word. I mean, I could spend hours upon hours upon hours using examples from everyday news and Christianity and Christian websites and expose this type of evil all day long. I've done it for almost 20 years. And what's lacking in the body right now is that discipleship and that one-on-one caring for people, and meeting them where they're at and helping them to overcome the wounds that they walk with. Because I guarantee you, if I were to sit down with this woman and hear her story and hear about her upbringing and hear about her first marriage and hear about her second marriage and hear about her divorces and what led to them, there is so much unresolved trauma with her. And yet here she is out there, she's trying to make a difference in the world, mostly for conservative values because she identifies as a Republican. But she isn't going to be able to do it in Christ's strength until she gets into God's Word. That's why a number of years ago, when I changed the name of this show to Bible News Radio, my emphasis was on the Bible first and looking at the news from a biblical perspective, which is basically what the show is about. I shared with you the news, and we know biblically what the Bible already says. I mean, most of you guys are mature in the Lord, but I know, I have no doubt there's a couple of you listening who would applaud this woman and you would advocate the same way she is, because that's what you believe, because you're not grounded in the Word. So there you go. So that's what I wanted to share with you on this episode of Bible News Radio. So I'd love to hear your feedback. If you have any, you can email me directly at stacyharp, stacyharp, @gmail.com, or you can just contact me through our website, hearttug.org, And I will tell you that I will always respond to email unless you're somebody who's been stalking me and I've already banned you from contacting me. But other than that, I would respond to most people's emails. And just say that, you know. I will have a new show coming with Randall by the end of the month. At the end of this month, it will be our last broadcast. I am excited to share with you. I will be launching a new coaching podcast. That podcast will be started sometime in early 2024. And I'm happy to share that I am working with a young woman who I think you'll absolutely adore. She's a different generation than I am, and it will be a younger woman, an older woman, having conversations on this new coaching show that I'm going to be putting together with her. She's totally excited about it. I think it's going to be great. And I think you will love it if you want to grow in your relationships and things like that. I think it will definitely be a new way to learn and grow together with you. So I hope you have a good rest of your afternoon. Remember, be bold, people. Stand up, go with God, because he loves you. But even more than that, take time to get to know him by being in his word and growing in love with him. Because I guarantee you, when you do that, your life will be changed for the better. And then you will be able to go out and impact the culture, because you'll be different than the culture. You won't be like Nancy Mace and be living as the culture, identifying as a Christian. So, until next time, take care.